When we are reading Paul's letters, it's always good to remember just who the audience of those letters were. Who were the people that Paul knew and built relationships with and helped to build new faith communities? Who was reading or hearing read to them this letter? Some of his readers were Jewish, and some were Gentile, not a member of any formal religion. But all of the receivers of his letters had chosen to become a follower of Christ. They had all left the religion and, in some cases, the culture of their upbringing behind to start a new thing as the first Christians, a word by the time Paul wrote that had only been used for a few years. In this letter to the churches in Galatia, churches that Paul had personally helped to start, Paul is highly annoyed at them. He is highly annoyed. If you go back and read the beginning of the letter, it starts out, whatever the word in Hebrew would be for really, really mad at you. That's how it starts. He's mad because they have started following other leaders who Paul believes are straying in their teaching from the gospel as preached by Paul, and in Paul's opinion, straying from the gospel of Jesus Christ altogether. The congregations there are starting to create factions and set boundaries and rules for admittance. They're focusing on their inheritance as the only children of God by way of their ancestry in Abraham. In the letter, he reminds these people that no matter where they came from, whether they were slaves or free people, or Jewish or Greek, or men or women, now they are all one in Christ. They are all belonging as children of God through faith and through their baptism. And Paul says, there are to be no divisions in this new thing. No them and us. No boundaries. No lines. No matter whether you grew up poor or rich, whether you are olive-skinned or African black or Roman white, all people are equal in Christ's arms. Paul, in his letter, demands that they push past their cultural, economic, and religious differences. Stop it with the factions. Don't worry about your economic and social groups. Instead, it's time to become allies, equals, brothers and sisters as one people, to support one another, to take care of the poor, to work for justice, and to work for peace. For to do anything else is not of the gospel of Christ. It's been a while, but I well remember the times on the playground when I was not chosen first or fifth to be on the kickball team. I well remember trying to navigate that deep, dark forest that was called middle and high school cafeteria, that confusing time in life when the factions start to form, when being in or out is a matter of both terror and pride, and where being popular was everything, but on some days, survival was just enough. And I was in the majority ethnic and racial group. My family was well set economically, and I looked like pretty much everybody else in my neighborhood. Yet, like I would venture many people in this room, I still struggled with fitting in. But I was not brown. I was not black. English was my first language, and I was not gay, and I had a home. Now I know that I was always in. I never knew what it really means to be a stranger in a strange land. And the reality is that I never will fully know what it feels like to always be fighting to make a successful and full life for myself in the midst of racial and ethnic tensions and blockages and bars and walls and blocks of boundaries. I will never know the days when just to eat a meal is a struggle. I will never know how it feels to live in poverty and how poverty is full-time work. I will never know what it means that in order to survive, I might have to pay a smuggler and walk across 3 countries to find safety for myself and my children. I will never know what it means to live in a closet because I'm afraid to show the world the way that God created me. On this Gay Pride weekend, in the midst of the turmoil of pre-election political maneuverings that are highlighting our country's deeply rooted racism, when the stories of horrific and dehumanizing ways that children are being treated at the border of our country with Mexico by agencies that we fund, when those notes are now reaching our inboxes, Paul's words are an invitation to call us to live mindfully and authentically and live immersed in the faith of God, where there is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, because we are all one in Christ Jesus. We all belong to Christ. Us and them, whoever your them is. And behind Paul's words are the words of Jesus, who entreated us, his disciples, to love one another as he has loved us. If in dwelling in this wounded world, we find ourselves reacting in fear and out of fear, or out of anger and confusion rather than reacting in courage and understanding and in the compassion in our hearts, we can see that the people around Jesus acted the exact same way. Notice that the way that the people of the Gerasenes reacted to Jesus' miracle of healing the man full of demons. Instead of rejoicing at this miracle, they were deeply afraid of it. They were terrified of the Messiah. They were so afraid of him that they asked him to leave. And he did leave them. He left them. But thanks be to God, he continued to do his work persistently and with respect for all that he encountered. He never dehumanized anybody. He always met people exactly where they were and with love. The truth of it is that no matter what group we are in, what faction we are in, what ethnicity we come from, gay or straight, no matter what color we wear or what language we speak, whether we are rich or poor, PhD or GED, Jesus meets us right where we are and wraps all of us in with him as one body. And because we do belong to Christ, Christ is always inviting us to act without fear, to act together and to embrace one another in compassion and to work for an ending to the issues that divide humanity and cause God pain. Every time we gather at the Eucharistic table, we are fed with the body and blood of Christ, taking in the food that will sustain us for this pilgrimage in our lives. Here in this liturgy today, we will pray not only for solace and pardon, but also for strength and renewal. And then after we have gathered at the table together, we are sent together out into the world to do the work that God has given us to do. And this is that work: to love our neighbors and to care for them and to work for God's dream and to hold on to the truth that no matter what happens, we all belong to Christ, and to do the work of love, to follow the way of love, to love one another as Christ loves us. So be brave. Be brave. In Christ, we will do our work. Be brave. Amen.